All right, I've got Ashok Gupta on the show today. He's an internationally renowned speaker, filmmaker, practitioner, and expert in neuroplasticity. Ashok, welcome to the show, brother.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. Excited to be here.
I say this about every guest. I'm super excited to see this. I'm sure everybody listening to my podcast goes, yeah, you're always super excited. But really, not only am I excited and super excited is because you are touching on, you're an expert in chronic fatigue syndrome, myalgic encephalomyelitis, which a lot of people might know it as that. And a lot of doctors will say, this is like, we don't know why this happens. It's incurable. And this is kind of the rote kind of things you hear from the Western doctor. But what I'm hearing from you is you're like, no, actually, I know why this is happening. And it actually has to do with the brain, the nervous system, retraining, and neuroplasticity. So, man, I'm excited to hear how you figured this out. And yeah, how did you figure this out?
Yeah, thank you, Joel. Well, as we were just discussing before we started, I think this is the new exciting area of medicine that's going to transform millions of lives around the world, because to me, it makes absolute sense as to why these conditions are occurring. And I'll go through the kind of neurobiology of it. But it says in my story, so I suffered from ME and chronic fatigue syndrome while studying as an undergrad at Cambridge. And imagine a young guy, early 20s, about to complete my degree. And suddenly I was hit with a virus, couldn't get better from the virus, and just became worse and worse to worse, to the point at which I had to crawl to the bathroom. Right. I opened up a textbook and literally couldn't read the words on the page. It's like I was suddenly 90 years old and I couldn't understand why. I went from doctor to doctor and they would say, we don't know what this is. We don't know what causes it. We don't know if it's even real. There's nothing we can do. You might have it for the rest of your life. Goodbye. And it was like a death sentence to a young man. And I remember in my worst moments, I was almost suicidal, thinking I've got this. I had it for like 2 to 3 years and no answers, no information. And like many of us who've been on this journey, who are here, we're supporting other people, we've been on our own, you know, unique health journeys. And so in my case, I then decided, right, I'd met hundreds of people with these illnesses. And I said, if I can just get myself well, and this is the mid-90s, by the way, where these illnesses were totally not recognized very well.
Nobody was talking about that then. And they're not even really talking about it now. So, yeah.
I said to the universe, if I can get myself better, even if it's just 50% better, I will dedicate the rest of my life to helping the millions around the world who are suffering from this. And so I researched brain neurology, I researched physiology, and I came up with a hypothesis as to what I thought caused these conditions. And in an ad hoc way, I experimented with my own brain, got myself 100% better, and then opened a clinic to support others. And since then, we've now got an online program and we've got controlled trials and various things. So yeah, that was my background and my journey to getting here.
This is phenomenal. I'm getting chills just listening to you talk about this, because I love when I hear someone who just paint a purpose and like so driven, so mission and committed to just helping others, because they don't want others to suffer. They know they suffered. And, you know, I was telling you offline, my brother in his early 20s had just some emotional things happen. He had a breakup and he was going through a lost job. And all of a sudden he came down with what would look like to the Western doctor, chronic fatigue syndrome. I mean, I couldn't explain it. I actually thought he was just being lazy, because he did have a tendency to be a little lazy. So I'm like, dude, get up. Like, we got to do stuff. I mean, he couldn't get out of bed, man. This lasted for about a year. Couldn't figure it out. Ran some high sophisticated blood tests, because that's all I knew at the time with my knowledge of health. And his reverse T3 was off. His thyroid, everything was off. And the practitioner said, listen, I don't know based on his blood what's going on, but he has some kind of viral load and we got to get his immune system. And that was all she could really say. Come to find out, it looked like, you know, he had a detection of the Epstein-Barr virus. And now looking back at it, I can say it was probably this emotional component that hit him coupled with a virus. And we just didn't know how to balance his body out. He eventually got better through just nutrition and just kind of steadily giving him a good input. But it didn't happen overnight. And I wish I had known someone like you to do that. The second big thing, and I think we're going to talk about it, is what's fascinating to me, because I'm blown away. You talk about neuroplasticity in the brain and like retraining the nervous system, or the, I don't know, you're going to tell me, the brain, the nervous system, the limbic system. How, I wouldn't even think of that. Wouldn't we be thinking like, no, we need to give our kids or you more vitamin C, more antioxidants? And you're training the brain to get people better. Talk to me about this.
Yeah, so this is where medicine, see, it always reminds me of a great story where there's a man and a woman, and the man's lost his glasses, and there's a blackout, let's say, and there's no electricity in the home. So he starts looking for his glasses outdoors under the street lamp. And the woman says, "Why are you looking for your glasses there?" And he says, "Because that's where the light is," right? And in a similar way, the medicine over the last few hundred years has come on, obviously, leaps and bounds. It's been transformative. But what it's focused on is what we can measure, which is the physical body. Yeah, we can measure the enzymes, we can measure the gut, we can measure the muscles, etc., etc. But what's really interesting is the brain is like a software program. Yeah, and a lot of these illnesses are software problems rather than hardware problems. And until very recently, the brain has been like a black box. So we haven't really figured out what's going on in the brain. So medicine has naturally gone to what can be measured, which is the physical body. Yeah, and now over the last 20, 30 years, we've been able to open up the brain and say, actually, we can see things which are going on. And now we're realizing maybe a lot of the illnesses that we typically perceive were in the physical body downstream may actually be being caused by the upstream. Yeah. And the analogy is, let's say your car, like when you take your car into the garage, right, there might be something wrong with the engine or the tire or this or that. But actually now when you take your car in, it tends to be the electrical system, right? The mechanic will plug their system in and they'll reset your electrical system. And in a similar way, we're now realizing that so many modern diseases are actually caused by the electrical system, the nervous system and the programming, the software, rather than the hardware. And that's why we're seeing medicine being brilliant at treating some of those hardware issues, but not having answers for software issues, where it's a process of function. Yeah, and that's why so many integrative and functional medicine doctors are now prescribing this type of approach to their patients. So that's really the approach that I started with, a systems biology overall way of looking at the system versus the reductionist philosophy that traditional medicine looks at.
Yeah, it's incredible. You know, I didn't tell you this, but I'm also a NuFIT practitioner. And so I've been trained in using this electrical DC current. And a lot of my training was, that's the understanding is that, like, if we get injured and there's chronic pain has nothing to do with, usually, not always, but has nothing to do with, oh, there's an actual pain going there, is that the brain gets stuck in this neurofeedback pain loop. And even if the pain is gone, there was trauma there, the brain is just trying to keep you safe. And so it is constantly trying to protect that area and it doesn't need to protect it. And so it sounds like very similar is that whatever you're doing, and we're going to get into that, you're giving the brain the correct input so that the output then becomes vital health, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Ashik, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say the analogy would be, let's say you're standing on a bridge. And you're looking down over the bridge and suddenly you see someone drowning. And so you jump in and you save that person from drowning. And then you see another person drowning. So you jump in, you save that person from drowning. And you think, great, I'm doing an amazing job. I'm saving all these people. And you set up a rescue center next to this bridge. But nobody's asking the question, who's throwing these people into the river in the first place? We've got to go upstream. That's the thing. And yes, you will alleviate someone's issues by pulling these people who are drowning out of the river. But what's even more powerful is if you go to the source and stop it at the source so that health actually returns in the longer term. And I know loads of integrative and functional medicine doctors, nutritionists, naturopaths who say that we treat these types of things, you know, long COVID, mold illness, Lyme disease. We treat them and we are able to get people better in the short term, but they have a stressful event. Wham, all the symptoms come back again. We don't understand why that is happening. How do we get these longer term benefits? And we believe that actually most of these illnesses are caused in the brain at the ultimate level. And by, you know, being able to retrain the brain, we can get systems back to balance. And that's why we're here.
Wow. I can't wait to dig into that. Before we dig into kind of the training and what it looks like, you know, you've coined this term neuroimmune conditioned systems, NICS. Now, I think of chronic fatigue syndrome or ME, myalgic encephalomyelitis. Are there other NICSs out there that, like, what else would be put in that category? And then in your opinion, from what you see across the spectrum, how prevalent is that?
Sure. So I believe it or not, that it's potentially up to 50% of the illnesses that you go to see a doctor for could be neuroimmune condition syndromes. Yeah. So we're talking a huge category of conditions. And why do we say neuroimmune? Because actually, these are neurological and affecting the immune system. And then also They're conditioned because the brain becomes trained to respond in a certain way. And they're syndromes because there's a unique set of symptoms that come under it. So we would include in that ME/CFS, long COVID, fibromyalgia, and other pain syndromes, chemical sensitivities, mast cell activation, POTS, adrenal fatigue, irritable bowel, SIBO, burnout, dysautonomia, but all those types of conditions where there's so many crossovers in the illness, mold illness, for instance, as well. And we can see that there's many crossovers, and yet there's an underlying root which could be the cause of all of them, which is dysfunction in the immune system and neurological system in the brain.
Okay, I got to ask you something. Let's just use mold as an example. Mold is devastating for people. Dave Asprey, the godfather of biohacker, kind of made that really, you know, doing a documentary on mold. And I think it really highlighted how devastating it is. And it, there's these co-infections with Lyme, and people just get wrecked. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, are you telling me that going through maybe one of your protocols or trainings and retraining the limbic system, can that alone wipe out someone who, let's say, has mold symptoms? Because what we've been taught, well, at least what I've been taught as a holistic health coach and functional kind of, you know, diagnostician, is I would use binders and I would use enzymes to eat away at the mold inside. And I would use certain herbals to destroy some of these pathogens and bring the body back up to speed. Are you saying we don't even need to do any of that?
I'm a both and kind of guy. So I think it's those things are very useful. So as I said, you're standing on the bridge, you're still saving the people who are drowning because they've already made it down the river. And let's go to the root source and say, well, why are these people coming into the river in the first place? Why is this person reacting to the mold? And to give you an example of this, our bodies are our own best detoxifiers. Most of medicine is not actually defending the body. It's enabling the body to defend itself better. Even vaccines are essentially doing that. And so when it comes to things like binders, when it comes to detoxification, killing off these types of toxins in the body can do this better than any other external remedy, but we've got to get the body in the right state to do it. And a clue to that is if our system is in an over-defensive state or a fight or flight response, our detox systems shut down, our digestive systems shut down, our enzymes are disrupted, our microbiome is disrupted, white blood cell count goes down. All of these things are impacted by the nervous system responding inappropriately and the immune system responding inappropriately. Get those refined, get those delicate systems refined and efficient, your body can take care of all of these things itself.
I love that. Yeah. So it's a holistic approach. Like, you can do all those things, but start with the nervous system first, because, and I always tell people that, I always say, listen, if you're not in a parasympathetic state, the body can't heal anyways. I don't care what binder I give you or what, you're not going to heal. So that's beautiful. And I think this ties in with a conversation I had with you just a little bit ago about my own son, my 6-year-old, who he got a TBI about 3 years ago at age 3. And for anybody that doesn't know, at age 4, there's the brain goes through this magical leap, the limbic system. And he got a TBI, and there we know that there's a lot of emotional components and things that happen there. And ever since he got that injury, I have noticed that, sure, he has even some more emotional and maybe anger issues, but also his immune system, in my opinion, has gone offline. He was a kid who could get sick and he would turn around within 24 hours and be amazing. Now I have seen more reoccurring sickness, and even warts are on his body, which shows that he's got some kind of viral load that he just can't seem to get away. A practitioner I finally met with who does a lot of energy and frequency and resonance work said, Joel, his biggest issue right now, and I think you're going to like this, is that brain injury, that TBI, has affected his nervous system so much that it's actually caused dysfunction in the immune system. So as much as the herbals and the vitamin C and the binders that you want to give him, we're not getting to the root cause. Mm-hmm. Would you Absolutely. Say something kind of, I think you're saying the same thing, Ashok.
Yeah. So we have people who've used our program as a secondary condition for TBI. It's not the primary condition that we recommend it for because we don't have studies on that. But what they have told us is, you see, when we have a traumatic brain injury, what's happening is our system now detects danger. And potentially there's disruption in, I mean, I don't know the specific case of your son, but there can be disruption in the neuronal connections in the brain. There can be damage. Therefore, the system thinks, hey, there is something wrong, I am in danger, and therefore I need to trigger immune responses and nervous system responses. And in doing that, the medicine becomes the problem. So the when I say the medicine, the brain's own ability or drive to try and defend itself becomes the issue. Yeah. And therefore, we need to calm down and switch off these overactive responses to allow balance to occur. And, you know, if I give you the background to this, you know, I always start with what is the biggest question of all? Why are we here? Right. So we could have a lovely conversation for the next half an hour on the philosophical kind of constructs around civilization. But let's talk about it from a scientific perspective. We are here because this immune system and this nervous system has evolved over millions of years to adapt to its environment, to survive, procreate, and pass on the genes to the next generation. Yep. And our DNA contains all the DNA of the previous species. Not many people realize this. Do you know, we share 40% of the same DNA as a banana, which I find a fascinating statistic. So we have learned all of that to be able to survive in our bodies. Yeah. So survival is the number one priority, and the brain will always err on the side of caution. So your brain doesn't care whether you're well, your brain cares that you survive. And that is our number one clue to all these modern diseases and neuroimmune conditions. And so what happens is, let's take the example of long COVID, because I think that's something that a lot of people can relate to, because we all seem to know somebody who's got lingering symptoms from COVID. So imagine you get COVID, normally your immune system switches on, it fights off the incoming invaders, and then it switches off and goes back to standby mode. But if we're feeling weak, or there is perhaps an emotional thing going on in our lives at the time, or we feel compromised in some way, or immunocompromised, our immune system may take longer to fight off that incoming invader, fight off that virus. Yeah? And during that period of time, we'll have a period of post-viral fatigue, which can also be extensive. Can be, you know, many people have COVID, and it takes a few weeks to really get back to normal. Now, during that period of time, the brain may think, hey, why haven't I fought off this virus yet? I've still got symptoms. Perhaps we still have the virus in our bodies. Right, I need to continue to stimulate the immune system and nervous system. But now, the symptoms in our body become what we call a conditioned stimulus. So I don't know if we remember Pavlov's dogs, right? So we ring a bell and the dogs would salivate knowing that they're about to be fed some food. So in the same way, this very neutral stimulus, which is just symptoms in the body, they become a conditioned stimulus. And our brain thinks, ah, symptoms in the body are telling us that we still have the virus in our bodies. Therefore, we must trigger the immune system and nervous system in response to the symptoms. So the brain triggers the immune system and nervous system, creates massive inflammation in the body and the brain. That then loops back to a hypersensitive, hypervigilant brain. The brain thinks we're still in danger, and then re-triggers the immune system and nervous system, which creates a vicious cycle. And for us, that is the key explanation as to why illnesses become chronic, because otherwise our system should return to homeostasis. But it doesn't, because the output and the input of the system get tied together and locked together in a vicious loop. And Joel, I don't know, are you a fan of Game of Thrones by any chance?
Unfortunately, no, and not just, I don't have a TV, so that's the only reason.
Well, let's take a fairy tale, right? So imagine you are King Joel, and you are king of your castle, king of your kingdom, right? And you have an army, which is your nervous system, and you have a navy, which is your immune system, to defend this kingdom. Now, over the hill comes an invader. So that could be the COVID virus, COVID-19. That could be a pain insult. That could be mold exposure, right? So an invader comes over the hill. Your army and navy fight valiantly. They fight it off. And everyone comes back to standby. Kingdom returns to normal. Now imagine you've had a drought in that kingdom. So suddenly now the kingdom is weaker. The immune system and the navy is weaker. The nervous system is weaker. Another invader comes over the hill. A virus, a bacteria, a mold, a pollution, whatever it may be. And the army and navy, once again, defend the kingdom, but they're weaker now than they were before. So they fight off the invading army, but they're not sure if they've completely got rid of that invading army. So they come to you, King Joel, and they say, King Joel, we need all the resources of the kingdom now. We need the wheat, the corn, the metal, all the young men who, you know, not being sexist, but the young people who can join the army and the navy. Right? So all the resources are now being channeled to the army and navy. Now what happens is they're on hyper alert, just like veterans get traumatized after being in war. Even a small group of people coming over the hill on horseback is enough for the army and navy to fire off their weapons. They're firing off their arrows, their war machines, just to err on the side of caution and defend the mind and body. But what then happens is all the resources of the body are being channeled to an inappropriate inflammatory response. And some of those arrows are falling back in the kingdom, disrupting the kingdom even further, making the kingdom even weaker. And so now those generals, those army generals, are traumatized. They're constantly defending against an enemy that has already been fought off. But then what happens? Opportunistic enemies start arising. So spies are able to get past the barriers because the army and navy just focused in this direction. So spies can come in, and now the kingdom has these opportunistic infections, the viruses, the viral load, the opportunistic bacterial infections. The kingdom is no longer able to root out the spies it was able to do, because now all resources are being channeled to this one fight over here. So when our immune system is triggered, it actually becomes less effective at finding other opportunistic infections within the body. So now you can see why chronic illnesses develop and they perpetuate, because the system is doing the one thing that it always prioritizes, which is survival. It doesn't care whether you have health or energy. It cares about you fighting off things which are life-threatening. And brain retraining is when those generals come to you on the next weekly meeting, say, King Joel, right, we continue to need all the resources. You say to them, my dear generals, you've done a fantastic job at defending the kingdom, but we are safe now. It's time to stand down. But those generals won't take the first time you say that. They won't take it on board. You need to tell them again and again and again. And that is what neuroplasticity and neurobrain retraining is repeatedly telling your generals to stand down so that the immune system and nervous system can come back to balance, so that the peripheral system can detoxify effectively, and then our bodies can be its own best detoxifier. And you're absolutely right. When we're in that sympathetic fight or flight or freeze response, the system cannot work efficiently and effectively, because the nervous system and immune system are now tied together, and those dangers become tied together. And the hope of this brain retraining is when we are able to switch off these responses, natural health returns and we go back to balance.
That was a beautiful analogy. I'm going to steal that. I'm going to start using Game of Thrones as my new reference point when I try to explain health. That was great. Okay, that leads into perfectly what I wanted to ask you next, which is, how does neuroplasticity, which you just explained beautifully, and we know, I think when I think of neuroplasticity, I think of the brain is always able to be changed. It's malleable. Neurons that fire together wire together, so we can create new pathways. So how does that idea of neuroplasticity and what you're talking about, this limbic retraining, how do you do that? What does that look like for people with NICS?
Sure. So traditionally, we thought the brain was fixed, right? It's malleable during the first 10 years or so of life, and then it pretty much gets fixed in our teenage years, and that's our personality, and that's our physiological responses to the environment. And neuroplasticity is this idea, as you say, that the brain is constantly changing, constantly rewiring. Yep. Even in our elder years, 70s, 80s, we can still learn a musical instrument. We can still rewire the brain, create new neurons. So in these particular illnesses, and this includes pain syndromes as well, what we're saying is that imagine that we have a stimulus interpretation response model. So the stimulus is the symptoms in our body or the mold exposure. The interpretation is we're still in danger. And the response is trigger the inflammatory response, trigger the nervous system. So this stimulus interpretation response, imagine a field. And this is like a neuronal pathway on the left-hand side of the field, which is where the river is flowing. So the river is flowing through this field. And that's what it's got used to doing. So that's a neuronal pathway, that river. And we want to reroute that river in a different direction. So when there is a stimulus, it wants to go down the left-hand path, stimulus interpretation response. And we say, no, we want stimulus interpretation response to be a different pathway. But that field is frozen. It's completely solid frozen. We can't change it. Because the more stressed the brain is and the more there's a sympathetic response, it's less rewirable and less neuroplastic. So our first step is we've got to calm the overall stimulation of the brain, which is why, as you say, the practitioner said, we've got to work on the nervous system first. Because when we calm the nervous system, that field thaws and becomes softer. So the ground becomes softer. So we can start digging a new channel. The next stage is the brain retraining, that we start digging a new channel for the river to go down. So we dig a new channel. But we know that when it rains, the water will go down the right-hand channel, but it will eventually default back to the left-hand channel because we are creatures of habit, right? And the brain knows what it knows. It thinks left-hand path is a safer path. So we have to keep digging repeatedly the right-hand channel until the river reroutes itself along the right-hand channel. And the old channel, the left-hand path, gets grown over with grass and soil and weeds and all those kinds of things. And now we've created a new neuronal pathway. And that is done through the power of repetition. So the difference between cognitive and behavioral approaches versus the neuroplasticity approaches is neuroplasticity takes advantage of this idea of continuous repetition, that we're creating new neurons in a much more concentrated period of time. And it, the analogy would be, let's say you're learning to drive a car. Now, if you sat in the car the very first day and said, right, if I'm really positive and I really focus on this, I'm going to be able to drive this car. That won't make any difference. You've got to actually move the steering wheel, press the gas, you know, move the gear shift for those of us in Europe. And then you eventually train your nervous system that eventually you can drive that car automatically because you've created neuronal learning in your brain that means you can drive it without even thinking, eat a sandwich, listen to a phone call, you're absolutely fine. So in a similar way, that is what brain retraining is, that we teach patients to recognize that stimulus interpretation model, recognize the old interpretations the brain is making, and at a very subtle level, be able to reroute it. And you might say, Ashok, how can we control our immune system or our physiology? Like, we don't have a direct way of doing that. I can't just say, right, switch off the immune system. And that is the unique set of seven steps that we've identified. Seven little steps that people take, which involve actually physically moving through certain steps and imagining certain things, which actually send these safety signals back to the limbic system, to the amygdala and the insular parts of the brain to switch off these responses and get back to homeostasis. So our program is all about teaching patients how to do that. Then they regularly do this. And first step is loosen up the soil. So that's relaxing the nervous system. Second step is retraining the brain. So that's the core unique aspects of our program. And the third step for maintenance is re-engaging with joy. That if we don't engage with the small moments of joy in our lives, our brain keeps thinking we're still in danger and defaults back to the left-hand path. So that third step of re-engaging in joy is incredibly important as well. And that probably be analogous to in polyvagal theory, they talk about the ventral responses. We are talking about re-engaging the parts of our brain that enable us to keep happy and joyful and therefore reduce a lack of safety.
Beautiful. I love that three-step framework. Makes complete sense and why it works. And that's what, so to that note, it sounds like from what you're saying, you know, you can I do this? Like for my son, for example, can I meet with a practitioner or yourself over Zoom? Do I have to go in the clinic? And then just kind of explain also after that, like the three-step framework, I understand, but then let's just use my son as an example. What would you expect? Like, what does this program look like? Is this an 8-week program, 12-week? I'm sure there's some bio-individuality that comes along the line with everybody you see. But yeah, like walk me through maybe what I might experience if I decided to do this.
Sure. So we have thousands of patients around the world, mainly in the US and Canada. And the way this works is it's delivered as an app and an online program because there was only so many patients we could see in a clinical environment. And so people can take the free trial. So they go onto the app or the website, join the member area. And there are 15 interactive video sessions that people can watch together with about 20 to 30 audio exercises. And the program is very comprehensive. So as you say, people are at different starting points. They have different conditions. So we don't expect people to do our entire program, but they pick the pathway which is most appropriate for them. And to help them do that, we have weekly webinars with myself to teach people all the tools and techniques. They obviously watch the videos as well. We have 30 to 40 trained practitioners around the world who can work with people one-on-one. But Joel, the real game changer that has literally been transformative over the last few months is something called daily Guptasize. So as we talked about, if we're going to dig that right-hand path, it's repetition that matters. And if you miss a few days, guess what? The water goes down the left-hand path again. So we've created this thing called daily Guptasize, which are daily Zoom calls with our coaches, where we take them through the nervous system regulation every day, and we take them through the brain retraining every day. And people don't have to join every day, but a lot of people do because they love the regularity. And that has been a game changer, where it's taken months and months for people to rewire. You know, it's now taking much shorter periods of time with that daily kind of commitment to it. And our surveys show that people who have the best results are the people who engage with our program at least 5 or 6 times a week in order to retrain. And that has been, I mean, we have a few hundred people a day on those calls, and that has been a great way of administering our program. Because not everybody is self-directed. So some people are great. They'll, you know, they just want to watch the videos, learn it for themselves, and put it into practice. Other people, for them, what's great is, I just want someone to tell me what to do. So I come on a Zoom call, tell me what to do. And the fact it's in a beautiful, loving community each day has been profound, and we really loved sharing that.
Yeah, I would imagine, especially when you're talking about neuroplasticity and we just said it, the neurons that fire together, wire together, you need that accountability to build up and reroute and create that new pathway. And that's only going to come with repetition. So having that accountability and the habit, I think, is crucial, and it makes a lot of sense. And what's the app called? I didn't hear the name of the app.
So it's called the Gupta Program.
Okay, beautiful. So anybody wants to learn about that, they can download the app and then get started.
Yeah.
What, you know, I want to get into the science, because I know there's some people that might be listening, and they're data people, and I'm a data person. So I want to know, tell me about the double blind randomized controlled studies, which I know you have. So I want you to share those. But on the note of just, we're talking about people and their stories. What are some, before we go into the actual science and the data, what are some of the testimonials or just some of the quick turnarounds where even like you can, maybe there's someone like my son who, man, like this guy was always getting sick, and then bam, man, in a matter of 4 weeks, never got sick, you know, he was back online. What are you seeing just in terms of just in general? And I know you've worked with thousands of people, so there's probably lots of those amazing testimonials and what some might even call miracles.
Yes. Yeah, so we call our program a 3 to 6 month program. And the reason is, as we've described, people may dig the channels along the right hand path, but it's very easy to become complacent, because once you start healing, once you get to like 80-90%, you think, hey, I've done it. I'm cured. I don't want anything to do with this illness anymore. I'm going to leave the support groups. And then you go and push your body too hard. And we know that a lot of people who get these illnesses, they're the kind of people who have pushed their bodies a little too hard in whatever way. And so complacency is the number one thing that we address. And therefore, we call it a 3 to 6 month program. So most people get the results that they want within that 3 to 6 month window. But a recent survey that we did on our clients, to give an example that's is gone for publication, this is a clinical audit on our patients. So we found that within 3 months, most people were having between 80 to 120% improvement in their symptoms within that short period of time. And when we've done a clinical audit, which was published in 2010, we found that 90% of our patients improved, and 2/3 of patients reached an 80 to 100% recovery, what we call a full recovery. And therefore, we get some people who heal within weeks. I mean, especially with long COVID, because you see, long COVID is one of those things where if it's new to the system, and it's only been around for a few months or 6 months or a year, if you catch it early, the earlier you catch it, obviously, the better, because then the neuronal pathways aren't so deeply entrenched within the brain. Yeah. And we've had people, you can look on our website, there's hundreds of testimonials, there's actually about 400 testimonials now on our website. You can see people who've actually been ill for 20 to 30 years. So there's a recent testimonial from someone called Barbara, who's had Lyme and mold disease for 20 years, has been through every single pathway you can possibly imagine, couldn't heal, improved somewhat, but couldn't heal fully. And she came onto our program, and in a matter of months, she was able to get to her, her 80 to 100% recovery. We have people with sensitivity reactions, mold illness, Lyme disease, long COVID, and a lot of people with chronic fatigue syndrome. So those are kind of the major areas. But now we're finding that even patients who we didn't traditionally treat, so we now have people using it for MS and Alzheimer's and these inflammatory diseases, which is our next target for research, which has been fascinating as well. And once again, not that we're able to cure it, but they're certainly seeing reversal in the trajectory of their illnesses, which for those types of conditions is fascinating as well. So I think this is a real exciting area.
I love that, Ash. And it makes complete sense. Every person that I've ever encountered as a client or someone that's reached out to me that has had an autoimmune condition such as MS, I've always been able to trace it back to an emotional time period in their life. And then bam, they got sick, and then a cascade of things happened. And I've also seen a handful of people, guess what? not go the traditional medicine route, which in my opinion, they're just poisoning these people, which they are. And I've seen these people actually do the complete opposite and heal themselves, not through your method. They just kind of decided to just, you know, use their mind and just do different things. And guess what? Their symptoms all went away. And the Western doctor's like, I don't know how this is happening. Just keep doing what you're doing. I can't explain why you went from 4 lesions to 1. They don't even know how to categorize these people. And so I've seen a lot of people heal on their own. The difference between what they're doing and you're doing is you've actually figured out the system and the framework to get them back rapidly. They just kind of figured it out. They stumbled upon it, luckily. Thank God. So,
well, you know, actually, there's a very
so exciting what you're doing.
Yeah, there's actually a very simple hypothesis as to why people heal from we don't understand why. What happens is the brain is stuck in this defensive mode where it believes we are in danger. Okay, and that's why it's triggering the immune system and nervous system. Now, if you go on a new diet or you go on a meditation retreat or you do something completely radically different that the brain doesn't really understand or is a new, completely new exposure, the brain thinks, oh, perhaps something has shifted and changed because I see some improvement in symptoms. Perhaps I'm no longer in danger. Do you see? And so then we go from a vicious circle to a virtuous circle. And I want to be very clear that this isn't the placebo effect, but what it is what I call the enhanced self-healing effect. That when we believe that we are going to heal and we find something that's improving us, we get onto a beautiful escalator of positivity and of healing that enables us to ratchet forward that response. All we're doing is bottling that retraining of the brain. So when someone heals, we believe, from any of these conditions, they accidentally and unconsciously rewire the brain for safety. And that's ultimately why they heal, because these defensive responses now switch back to normal. We get back to homeostasis. So there can be many ways to get back to homeostasis. We're just bottling it in a systematic process.
Yeah, very, very cool stuff. Are you certifying other practitioners like myself, health coaches that want to add this to their practice or they want to do that? Is that possible?
Absolutely. So we have a training program, which is teaching people to become either official Gupta program coaches, or we are also launching one for practitioners who perhaps don't want to go onto our website as official ones, but they would just like to be able to support their patients through their healing. So all of this is coming now because we've had a lot of demand for exactly that. And what amazes me is, and when I go to conferences now, I have practitioners coming up to me saying, oh, we're prescribing your program to our patients. Now, all of our patients go through your protocols in addition to what we're doing. And we don't know what's helping, but the package is more powerful than the individual components. And that's really exciting for us because we're not having to even really sell this. People are already, the patients themselves are using it and telling their doctors about it and saying, look, can I use this in addition to your protocols? And definitely we believe that the combination approach is great because you're improving the downstream symptoms, but you're also getting to the root cause at the same time.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. I'm looking at the time and we're kind of running up on the top of the hour. Want to just ask you a couple of final questions and then let everybody know, and then we'll let everybody know where they can find you and connect with you and learn more about what you're doing. But any exciting projects or anything else that you got that you're excited to share with us that's coming? I mean, obviously you've got the Gupta program and that alone is enough, but yeah, just curious, anything else?
Yeah. So I think in terms of our randomized controlled trials, so we've got a lot of new trials in the pipeline. A couple that I want to share with people is that firstly, we did one on long COVID recently. It was published just a few months ago, and it compared our program to a wellness program. So the wellness program had supplements and diet and sleep and all the other good stuff you'd get in the wellness program. And it found that our treatment was 4 times more effective at reducing fatigue and exhaustion and twice as effective at increasing levels of energy. So that was an RCT that was published recently. And for fibromyalgia, similar vein, we found that within 8 weeks, we reduced fibromyalgia by 40% in our group and 0% in the control group, and you know, lots of other great stats as well. So our future projects are, we want to make this a mainstream treatment. So we're now running randomized controlled trials on a whole host of different conditions and larger ones as well. So we want phase 2, phase 3 trials. Because for us, that's really what will matter, that if doctors can see, look, they've got this data, it becomes a no-brainer. Pardon the pun, where we actually want to bring this into mainstream medicine and into primary healthcare as the first port of call. And many practitioners say, actually, we need you to do the Gupta program first before we can even treat you, because your body's so sensitive. Whatever we do, this will get better, but this will get worse, and this will change, and this will change. So let's get your system regulated initially. So that's our next big project, is let's get these larger randomized controlled trials, and we're raising funds from donors and anyone who wants to donate for that kind of those kind of trials.
It makes complete sense, and that's why I'm so interested, because you're 100% right. That nervous system has to come online. If you're not in parasympathetic, you will never heal. It doesn't matter. So I think your program is really cutting edge. I'm excited. And share those studies with me. Let's get those studies in the show notes for sure. I'll reach out to your team. And then I have a selfish question, because I've been bringing up my six-year-old a lot. Kids, you know, is that something that you see them doing? He's, you know, could he do this program? Maybe it'll take him longer, but could he do something like this?
Yes. And the way this would work is we work with a lot of parents who learn the tools and techniques for themselves, and then they're able to translate it for their child. Yeah. Now, I think generally, although our program is an 18 plus program, obviously teenagers are able to use it and absorb it with, you know, in conjunction with their parents. For younger children, it is really interpretation of the tools and then teaching them what they can manage. Although, you know, 6 or 7 year olds, they are ready for breathing techniques, for meditation techniques. They really love them, actually, because they're so overstimulated from various other sources. So they can be ready for that type of approach and then learning the simple brain retraining tools. So I think this is perfectly translatable for children. Yeah. And something something we're offering to people right now, if people just want to sample it, they can actually join the daily Gupta size, the nervous system regulation bit, for free anyway. So they can join that. Your son can listen to that, see what they think, see how that resonates with them, and then see if this is the right approach for them.
How do they do that? How does someone just start for free if they're interested?
Yep. So you can go to our website, guptaprogram.com, sign up for the free trial, download the app for the free trial. And then within that, you'll see daily Gupta size. You just join the events every day. There are 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, and our amazing coaches. I mean, people just have incredible healing experiences just attending that, because the group intention of people all being 200-300 people wanting to heal together is incredibly powerful. So people say, my nervous system gets regulated in a completely different way to when I meditate on my own.
Yeah, Joe Dispenza has proved that many times at his events with data, and people talk about that. So I don't doubt that at all. And the thing I was thinking too is, if the parent is doing the training, a lot of times us as parents, we have a dysregulated nervous system. So if our nervous system is more regulated, then that's going to actually help the child regardless. So kind of cool, even if you are teaching your child, it's everyone's benefiting, which is really neat. Last question, then we'll have that call to action where everybody can connect with you. But just anything else I didn't ask you that you wish I had?
No, I think we've went through a lot of stuff there. I think the hope I want to give to people is, no matter what your support group has said about your healing, you know, what a practitioner or doctor has said, I believe that we can all certainly improve or fully heal despite how long we've had the condition or what we have. And this is the promise of neuroplasticity. I think it's, you know, the most exciting area of medicine. I think it's going to help so many people with so many different diseases. And yeah, just whatever you're experiencing, keep going. The future is bright.
Amazing. Ashok, tell everybody where they can find you, connect with you, either social media or just the website, and where they can sign up and start doing this.
Sure. So you can go to guptaprogram.com, which is guptaprogram.com, sign up for the free trial or the full program. And you can go to App Store and Play Store. Once again, search Gupta Program, download the app, and get straight in there and join the live events, start retraining your brain. There's lots of free materials, lots of free videos. And really, our aim is to get as many people better as possible, because there's so much suffering out there.
Oh, man, you nailed it. 100%, brother. I couldn't agree more. Man, thank you, Ashok Gupta. Thanks for being on the show, brother. I appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you so much.